Welcome to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. Well, today is something we have periodically on American Variety. It's called Dog Day, and we're going to talk about dogs. I love dogs, and I bet a lot of you out there also love dogs. Some of you may love cats, and that's fine, but there are probably a whole lot more dog lovers out there than cat lovers, I'm going to guess. But anyway, that's a speculation. But we have with us today someone who's very much into the world of dogs. She's the owner of Asher Dell Farm in Malabar, Florida. Her name is Judith Kelly. Welcome, Judith.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, Asher Dell Farm, it's not a horse farm. It's what kind of farm? What do you do there?
Well, we have 70 sheep, so that's a pretty good flock.
Okay. It's a sheep farm.
It's a sheep farm. And I have 6 border collies that are adults and that are in training and herd the sheep.
They herd the sheep. So, all right. So, these are herding dogs. And these are the border collies are those very smart, quick-moving, spiffy, alert dogs that we occasionally see on Animal Planet and other kinds of shows that are extremely adept at herding, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So that's what you do mainly at Asher Dell Farm. The sheep are props and kind of victims of their training tools maybe for the dogs, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So the main thing you do is training for herding dogs then, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
The farm is a location where people can come with their own breed of herding dog, bring their dog gets into the training, and so does the person. So what I do is teach people how to train their own dog to work sheep. So when they come to me, generally most people have their own dog. There are specific herding breeds that are listed with AKC, and it's, I think there's about 15 of them, and they start with the more common varieties of Shelties, Australian Shepherds, Border Collies, but the unusual breeds that you would not think of are actually Samoyed is a herding breed, so is a Rottweiler. They are trying to get Wheaton Terriers into this, and I have had clinics for Wheaton Terriers. There's a lot of German Shepherds that are very natural at herding.
Hmm.
So there are varied breeds that are actually, again, you wouldn't think of it. Like a Rottweiler? You
No.
wouldn't think of a Rottweiler as being a herding dog, but they're very good.
Herding maybe, but not herding. Anyway, but we'll leave that alone. But so the people bring their dogs to you, and maybe we'll get back to talking more about the specific breeds a little later and what their differences are as far as herding, because that's interesting. But when people bring their dogs to you, they don't just drop them off to be trained. You train the dog and the person, right?
That's correct. The dog has to have natural instinct. And that's what I'm looking for, is to test the instinct so I can get the dog to what we call turn on. It's like a light bulb goes off in the dog's brain.
Oh, yeah.
And he sees sheep and it's just amazing. All of a sudden this dog says, oh, I know how to do this.
Oh, wow.
And of course, then we are faced with the owner who
has no clue.
Who has no clue. And that's where I come in. So I can start the dog and turn the dog on, and then I have to take the necessary steps to take the people and teach them what the dog already knows how to instinctively do.
I'm reminded of Cesar Millan, who's a superstar on the Animal Planet and I guess in the whole world by now, who says, I think his big line is, I rehabilitate dogs, I train people. But it sounds to me like you train dogs and you try to train the people, maybe. Huh?
That is probably pretty close.
Are the human handlers harder to train than the dogs?
Definitely,
the time?
Definitely, because the dogs have the natural aptitude for
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And a person, especially, the standard answer is, I've never been around a sheep. And one of the classic examples...
And I'm afraid of them.
that, well, they can be. And one guy that started with me years ago, he said, well, the closest things I've ever been to a sheep is I had a wool sweater when I was a kid.
Oh,
so that's.
I hope that was a joke.
It was. But most people have never been around a sheep.
Well, what traits do humans need, as long as we're talking about that? Some people must pick it up easier than others, right? So what kind of person do you kind of recognize is going to be a little easier to train than the average?
There is no such thing. I was very slow at picking this up. I thought, my goodness, I must be really stupid.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think that's what has given me such an expertise with people, is because I had to break the training methods down small enough that if a person couldn't understand it, that I could back up another step and lead them forward from there.
Hmm.
So that's what I'm good at. I mean, I can break it down and put it so a person can literally understand it one step at a time. And then I put the dog who's already knows how to do this and the person together.
Well, that's why we have Judith on, because she's recognized nationally as being one of the best in the country at doing this, and I guess she's best in show or something, or at least is winning ribbons at being a trainer of herding dogs. And so it's surprising to me that you didn't have the instinct, that you had to struggle to learn.
It was a very difficult thing for me to learn. It really is. It's very challenging. It's especially hard to think of the round pen where we start the dogs and the people as being a big clock. And you don't go right and left. You go clockwise and counterclockwise. And you don't go left to go right. Yeah. You know, so that whole concept is like, wow.
Even that is hard for many
people.
That's
right.
Okay, well, I can look at my clock and tell which is clockwise, but looking at this pen, I have no idea. Well, are younger people often generally easier to train? Or
it just depends on the person. Okay. We've had teenagers come, and they know how to read a school clock. You get an adult out there, and they've been on digital clocks for years.
Oh, yeah, right.
They don't know which way the hands go.
But, I mean, in general, for learning everything you need to know to work with your dog as a trained herding dog, are younger people more adept at it? Or is
well,
there no general
definitely.
Rule at all?
When you go to, I was over in Wales almost 3 years ago for the international and the world trial. And when I started, I wasn't young. And it was very difficult when you get young people who are farm-raised and they know about livestock and they know what a sheep is going to do as it's doing it. I was a city person.
Sure.
I hadn't a clue what a sheep was going to do. So it's not only that you have to learn what the dog already knows instinctively, but then you have to figure out that a sheep has another whole thought pattern along with the dog. And so you have to figure all this in. And it's not easy. It's not.
Well, you're working with animals. And
that's
hard
right.
Hard enough to work with people, as we've established.
Yeah, yeah.
The animals, they don't speak English.
So if you have a person who grows up with this, and this is part of their childhood, naturally they're 10 jumps ahead of it.
Oh, sure.
For a person that comes from a city background to try and figure this out. But it's not impossible, and if I did it, anybody else can do it.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
That's right.
And where there's Judith, there's an even better way. Well, you're talking about the way the sheep think. Are they themselves, are they trained because they've been doing this a lot? Do they know what to expect, and are they already kind of hip to the program?
You know? Definitely. We start people in what I call a round pen, and this is a large area, 50 feet across, chain link all the way around it. And I have three sheep that are in there. And I take the dog in first, and I introduce kind of the dog to the sheep, and I put a little bit of control on the dog. But I have six sheep on the farm that literally, we call them heavy sheep. They're not fatter than the rest. They are just more used to people and used to strange dogs, so that they realize that a person is a point of safety. So they come to people, and that's what we're looking for.
So they're heavy in that they hang with you?
Yes, that's correct. And boy, they stay right at my knees. They are, that they know they're safe there.
But are you okay with that, or would you rather that the sheep be just controlled by the dog and able to be controlled independently of you? Is it good that they hang with you?
It is good that they hang with me, because then the dogs can come around and get behind the sheep and actually bring them to me. And that's what we're looking for.
Oh, okay. So you want the sheep to come to you. That's the goal.
That's correct. The sheep are trained in that respect, and they will come to the owner as well, which gives them the idea of what they're supposed to do. Because the dog is supposed to bring sheep to the person. And that's literally what we're looking for.
I see. Okay.
And there's a saying, you can't train untrained dogs on untrained sheep. If you have wild sheep in there, the dog is going to be a nut. I mean, it escalates. Then you've got a dog trying to bite sheep, and we don't want any of that. So trained sheep are the way to go.
In your farm at Asherdale Farm, you said you have a number of sheep. So do you have different breeds of sheep, or are they all the same?
No, I have a very interesting breed of sheep called a Katahdin. They were bred by a man in Maine named after the Katahdin Mountains. Hmm. And these are what we call a hair breed. They do not have wool. They do not need to be sheared. So they're perfect for hot climates. That's what they were developed for.
Plus, you don't want to be in the sheep shearing business anyway.
So. No, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And also, this breed of sheep can go literally all day long, and that doesn't bother them. A wool breed doesn't have that same aptitude. Hmm. So I do have the same breed of sheep on the farm, and that's what we work with.
You're listening to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. We're talking with Judith Kelly, who's the owner of Asher Dell Farm in Malabar, Florida. And she's one of the best recognized trainers of herding dogs in the country. And that's what they do at Asher Dell Farm. So just some things occur to me. Do you have any special tools, Judith, that you use in training? I mean, do you have a stick or a shepherd's crook or a horn or
yes,
anything like that? Or?
We do all of the above.
Oh, really?
There's a what we call a herding stick. It's just a white, narrow rod that has a handle that is comfortable for your hand on one end. Hmm. It is just an extension of your arm so that it will create a pressure so that when you're trying to move your dog away from you and away from your pressure, that it moves away from this white stick. And it's white because it's visual.
Yeah, visible, yeah.
So when you extend your hand out and the stick is the extension of your hand, the dog moves away from that pressure and away from the pressure onto the sheep.
When you say pressure, do you mean you touch the dog with it or he feels the pressure?
No, he feels the
psychological pressure.
Yes, he feels the pressure.
Okay.
And moves away. The sheep also feel the pressure from you having the stick in your hand. Hmm. So you can slow the sheep down by using the same kind of pressure on them as well.
So you said your goal in training a dog is to have them bring the sheep to you. But I think of it, and I guess most people think of, you know, the Sound of Music or something as,
right,
you know, a herd of sheep out on a mountainside and the shepherd is basically herding the sheep towards some distant place, you know, whether it's the farmhouse or a road or
yeah,
a truck or whatever.
That would be true. But generally speaking, the first thing that this dog has to do and what they have in their natural instinct is to what we call fetch sheep. Mm. They're fetching, they're bringing you sheep.
Okay.
And as you get more into the training, that's where you do what we call the driving, where the dog literally drives the sheep to a specific point or through a course or around fences, that kind of thing. So there's two phases to it. There's the fetching, where the dog brings the sheep to you from many different directions. They can bring them down off of a mountainside a mile or more away and gather up a big, large group of sheep, bring them to you, and then turn and drive those sheep another direction. So two phases,
okay, so
fetching
that's
and driving.
That's a more advanced level then. So.
That's correct.
So when you have an advanced dog with advanced capabilities driving sheep, and he's, let's say, as you said, a mile away, how do you communicate with the dog?
Well, we have many different types of whistles made out of different types of materials. One of my favorites is actually a sheep horn. They make what we call a shepherd's crook by using the horn. The actual horn is made into a shape and attached to hazel wood, etc. And so the pieces left over from the horn, one guy in Wales decided instead of wasting it and throwing it away, he developed a whistle.
Okay.
So
do some people whistle with their mouths? It must,
you
must
can,
be
and a lot of people will take their fingers and whistle like that,
uh-huh,
but they don't get quite the nice sounds that you get when you can whistle with a real shepherd's whistle.
Okay, so they don't have as much modulation and control.
Correct.
Control
That's exactly correct, yes.
Okay, interesting.
And not only that, but when you're working on a farm, the last thing I want to do is stick my dirty fingers into my mouth.
There you go. Stick them in somebody else's mouth.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, well, do dogs ever achieve total competency? I mean, is it always a learning process? Does any dog ever get to where he's so expert there's basically nothing else he can learn in herding?
I don't think so, and I don't think people do either.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That is part of the challenge of this, is that the dog is learning. Sure, they reach a plateau, and so does a handler. But you're trying to always, at least I am always trying to do a job better. I want my dog to think more. But what you do is you give the dog a lot of the tools, and once he has the tools, then you can trust him to use those tools without you interfering or having to be more involved with his expertise.
Yeah, you don't have to micromanage.
Correct.
Yeah.
We don't want micromanaged, because if you take all of the talent away from the dog and he's a mile or so away, you can't even see what he sees. So if he can't do anything without having a specific command, you've lost it.
Mm-hmm.
The dog is useless to you.
So it sounds like you want them to remain somewhat independent, or at least be able to be independent.
They have to think.
And to know at what level they're allowed, how long their leash is, so to speak.
Yes, they have to be able to think. That's all part of the beauty of this, is watching this dog actually think and put things together.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what they think to do.
That's cool. Do you think that the dog always feels like an extension of the handler to some extent, no matter how far away he is, or does the dog forget the handler at some points and just do his job?
That's the danger point.
Oh, yeah?
That's the dangerous point, because you want them always kind of communicating with you. They do communicate with you. They can go ahead and think on their own and do things on their own. But that communication, if it runs out and that dog takes his head, he might put sheep where you don't want them at all. Mm-hmm. And it can be in a lake. Sheep don't swim too well.
Over a cliff.
That's right. And that can happen.
Not in Florida.
No.
But anyway. But in a lake, anyway. Well, so there must be different levels of classes that you teach, right? And I imagine a lot of them is at the beginner level.
That's right.
But you must do then some very advanced teaching too?
Yes, that's true. We start the dog and the owner very basic. Like I mentioned, the round pen, mm-hmm. where you're doing the beginning, and then we go from there to there's three different levels. For instance, there's AKC herding. There are other associations that offer herding. There is the United States Border Collie Handlers Association, and that's basically Border Collie folk that it's bigger trials, further distances. Hmm. So there's different degrees of this. I would say that a lot of the comparison would be like to golf. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have little miniature golf.
Yeah.
And then you've got Tiger Woods kind of golf. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it just depends on what kind of field that you want to do. But yes, we can do everything from the minor leagues right on up to the major stuff.
But I think that people who have absolutely no background at all, nor does their dog, can still come to you at the absolute basic level all the time, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, give us an idea how much it costs per
it's
session.
It's $45.
Okay, so it's not that much.
No, no. And people really have a joyous time, and the dogs, it changes their confidence level.
Oh, really?
I had a student that started. She's only been coming about four times, and the dog went back into the vet. And before the dog had been for herding, the vet couldn't put her hands on the dog.
Hmm.
The dog had been, you know, like a rescue and so on, and he had no confidence. And in coming to herding class, the dog is super, and the vet was amazed.
It's kind of like they find their identity and a purpose.
That is correct.
Yeah, interesting. We're talking with Judith Kelly, who's the owner of Asherdell Farm in Malabar, Florida. She is an expert trainer of herding dogs of all kinds at a national level. And so I think, Judith, you also host national competitions from some of these organizations that you were just mentioning a minute ago.
That's correct. We have a very large AKC trial the first weekend in December. That's our major trial. We work through our club that was started to do this, which is the Central Florida Herding Club, and that is an AKC organization. But then we also have the USBCHA that I mentioned to you just a few moments ago, that we do have those kinds of trials as well. So many different phases. There's American Herding Breeds. They have a ranch course. So there's many facets to this, which adds to the degree of difficulty,
mm-hmm.
and the challenge.
Also to the interest.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think you're a judge for some of these yourself, right?
That's correct. Yeah, okay. I do. I've traveled all over the United States judging California, Pennsylvania, Maine, Massachusetts. Yes, everywhere.
I read that some people have called you the dog whisperer of the herding world. But I doubt you whisper much because you sound like you speak pretty clearly to me.
Well, that is true. But I do speak softly to my dogs.
Oh, do you?
I definitely do. I train them to listen. Hmm. And if you're shouting at them, they tune you out. So you want to speak very softly and very quietly, and those dogs listen, and your unity with them is much better. Hmm. You probably wouldn't like it if your spouse screamed at you all the time. You'd turn her off.
Hmm.
And this is the same with the dogs. They like to be spoken to softly, asked to do things, not demanded.
Yeah.
And then that way you have a real relationship. This is not something where you're the authority, because that dog knows more about his situation than you do a lot of the time. So you've got to be in tune with that.
You have to give them some respect.
That's exactly right.
So you talked earlier at the beginning of the show, Judith, about what breeds have this kind of natural instinct. And, you know, I think we probably all know, you know, the dogs that have sheep in their name, like shepherds of various kinds, those
right.
pretty obviously have that kind of background to them and have it in their DNA that they're going to snap into that light bulb turning on, as you mentioned, and realize what it's all about. But are some of these dogs so natural that they hardly need any training? I mean, they just kind of, like they've always ridden that bicycle, they get it right away?
They certainly know to bring their owner or the handler sheep. That is instinctive, and once you get that turned on, then they've got that. That's the reason that the AKC program was started many years ago, because a lot of these so-called sheep herding breeds, it was vanishing.
Hmm.
So they began this program to encourage people to really keep in that breed of dog the herding instinct. Scotch collies, you know, the Lassie kind of collie.
Mm-hmm.
Different bloodlines of that collie breed don't have any herding instinct anymore. And then yet you have another line of dogs, that's what we call it, another bloodline, and they're fabulous.
I'll be darned.
So just because they were bred to do that, theoretically, doesn't mean they still have it. So that's the idea of the program.
Are there some breeds that are completely, you know already off the bat, that some breeds are completely untrainable?
Well, not for sheep herding. That's correct.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Name some that's maybe basically untrainable and it's not worth the effort.
Well, there's sporting breeds. There's dogs like, you know, poodles.
Hmm.
But
what about standard poodles?
Standard poodles, believe it or not, can herd sheep.
Yay, because I have two of those.
Yes, and they can.
They herd just squirrels, I can tell you that.
Yes, and it is amazing. I have not had anybody stick with it other than herding instinct long enough to give me the opportunity to be able to say, okay, now we're beyond instinct, now we're into training.
Hmm.
And that's where the dividing line comes.
There must be some individual variations there, too.
Definitely.
Two of the same dogs who look alike standing next to each other, one will have it and the other won't.
That's exactly correct.
Just like people, really.
Yep, that's right. Huh. There's cattle dogs, Aussies. You know, there's, like I said, about 15 breeds. You can pick that up and figure out those just very quickly.
What is the best breed overall?
Border collies.
Yeah. I mean, it's like head and shoulders above all the others.
Yes, yeah. They're the Ferrari of the herding breed.
I mean, I have to tell you, I knew a woman back, you know, when I was single and was dating, I went in the lady's in her apartment and she had a border collie. And I walked in the house and the collie started to
herd you?
Herd me.
Yeah.
Round and round and wanted me over, wanted me away from her basically and behind the coffee table.
Uh-huh.
And so I, you know, immediately saw what was going on and I thought it was kind of funny. So I kind of accommodated the dog and went where he wanted me to go. But boy, he was like, he was running in squares. What
right.
in circles? It was like, it was very geometric.
Yeah.
I was amazed.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the first time I'd been around one.
Unfortunately, there are people that are breeding what they call the sporting border collie, and they're breeding basically for agility, or they're breeding basically for obedience. So we have to be careful with the border collie, because a lot of people just feel that because you have one, that it's going to be an automatic, and it's going to know how to do this.
Yeah.
And that's not true. Because there are lines of dogs that are very good at herding. Hmm. There are other lines of dogs that have been bred so long for agility and for obedience, that's what they excel at.
Well, it kind of brings up a question I wanted to ask you. Like, which came first, the instinct to do this or the breeding by humans to use them as helpers in their herding task that they had to do back in the old days?
I think the instinct, The instinct had to be there. It had to be there. And so as time progressed, that instinct, they talk about a border collie being a part English setter because it's got freckles on its legs. That's not a herding dog. And, you know, you can talk about bringing in different breeds, but it's also amazing today that if you're not careful, you can breed that herding instinct out in a couple of generations, and you don't have it anymore.
Sure. Well, you know, it's a very precise, complex wiring in the brain, and you can unwire it pretty quickly, I imagine.
Yeah.
A lot easier than you could wire it.
That's exactly right. So you do have to watch what you're doing. If you're really breeding for herding instinct, what you use, and how you go about it.
And you do breeding at the Asherdale Farm, too.
Yes,
right?
I certainly do. I've been breeding border collies for about 35 years, and I'm very careful on what I do and what I use.
Give me an idea, if you don't mind, what a good a dog that's not for show necessarily, but that you've bred so carefully, what that would cost?
Generally $1,000.
Okay.
And then if you have a dog that you buy that is a trained, what we call an open dog, one that you can stand at the post and whistle the dog out and it'll go a mile to pick up sheep, they can start at $3,000 or $4,000, go as high as 10, go as high as 15 or 20.
Yeah, sure. It's because of the training that's
That's correct. Yeah, it takes a while to get there.
So look, I understand the purpose of this back in the day when people had 1,000 sheep and needed to move them from point A to point B as efficiently as possible. That's why they had dogs as their extensions and as their assistants to do this. But what's the purpose of this nowadays? Is it just competition and it's just fun for the humans and it's an outlet for the dogs? Is that pretty much it? I don't mean to trivialize it.
No. But that, for a lot of people, that is a weekend warrior kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's great for the dog. It's good outlet for the handler, for the human that
good
is learning. It's
probably
great exercise.
Yeah.
Hard work.
I mean, I can look at you. You know, it's not TV, but you're 71 years old, and you know you're very trim and fit. I mean, you know, you look probably 15 years younger. You know, so it's good exercise.
Well, it does, and it keeps me in shape. But obviously, that type of living still exists in Great Britain today. It exists here in this country, Montana, Wyoming. It's the same thing. There's Basque Shepherds still doing this.
I think it also probably makes a stronger bond between the pet and the owner, right?
Definitely. So it's beyond description.
Yeah, so that's a strong reason right there. You're going to live with this animal for 10 to 15
years.
To 18 years, and it's good if you have a good relationship.
That's right, yeah.
And so that is why Caesar Milan and crew are so popular, because people want to learn how to live more happily and fully with their pets, right?
Yeah, with their dogs.
So the kind of thing you do is a route to that, let's say.
That's correct.
Well, Judith, we're just about out of time. I've been to Asherdale Farms and seen what you do. It's great. People can look up AsherdelleFarm.
Correct.
AsherdelleFarm.com.
Right.
And can find you on the web and see what you do and how to get there if you live in Central Florida or anywhere in Florida. I think come from all over the state.
Yeah, they do. They come all over. Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate you coming all over to come to be with us here on American Variety Radio today, Judith. And thanks to all of you for listening. I hope you'll tune in again next week, same time, same place, for more American Variety Radio.